Wednesday.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are once again doing a bit of a review today. It is Alistair Campbell with his analysis of what the historic loss of Viktor Orban in Hungary means. My view is that it signals the beginning of the end of sloppyism, especially the kind of Zionist-backed sloppyism as represented by Donald Trump, Nigel Farage, and various other figures that we have seen. This political message does not seem to have hit home with many decision makers as of yet, but that is the true meaning of it. That if you hug yourself close to a foreign country while posing as a nationalist and a populist, it is going to come back to bite you. And the future of politics, that is, in general, left or right, is actually heralded by the sorts of views that we're seeing at the Young Turks and Tucker Carlson and various other people who have made this the mainstay of their talking point, because everybody has realized that until this one issue is out of the way, all other issues are moot. Many of you still have not got that yet, but you will get it, especially if you make it non-negotiable. Now, before we get going here, I have to remind people to pick up a course at the academic agency. The Trivium is the bestseller there. Foundations of Politics, Foundations of Economics, Foundations of Research, Foundations of Shakespeare, many other great courses available. Buy it now, but let's not waste any more time and see what Alistair Campbell has to say about this. And I will pause it in the time-honored fashion to point out where I agree and disagree.
Hi there. Welcome to The Rest is Politics with me, Alistair Campbell. Rory's still away. He's back in action tomorrow, but I felt we couldn't really let the events of the last 24 hours pass without reflecting on just how big a moment this is, the end of Viktor Orban's rule of Hungary. 16 years, four terms, enough time to create what many people have called a mafia state, and where Orban had become so much more than the leader of a country of few.
Interesting that he used the phrase mafia state, because if you see it essentially as a Zionist project, which is what it ended up turning into, that is what portends any country that ends up basically being swayed by this sort of thing. It is very difficult for me to see it as anything more than a kind of long-term operation at this point, given what has been revealed in the past few weeks. Just today, it was revealed that J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are in daily contact reporting back to Netanyahu, causing many people across the political spectrum asking, who really runs this place? That's America. Orban is basically Netanyahu's number one ally in Europe. Got to ask why that is. Let's carry on.
More than 10 million people. He'd become a symbol of far-right, kleptocratic, authoritarian nationalism, which, because Donald Trump is back in the White House pursuing...
Now, you're going to have to get it through your heads, people. The Iran war and the monumental clusterfuck of Trump, who, as I record this, uploaded a picture of himself as Jesus, got himself into a feud with the Pope, and provoked a backlash so strong from his own Christian supporters that he was forced to delete the post, and it drew condemnation from the Pope, right? What is happening is that right-wing politics of this kind of populist stripe that we're seeing here is being massively discredited. The political center is being strengthened. Some of us told you that this was happening and you wouldn't believe it. It continues to happen. And Orban is the first major casualty of this realignment that's happening in politics. You better update your firmware if you think this is the end of it, because it's not. It's the start of it.
Much the same agenda, and often citing Orban as an inspiration, many had assumed it was the winning formula for modern politics and modern campaigns. Orban has lost, and he's lost big. So big that he had no option but to throw in the towel long before all the votes were even counted. But he's not the only loser. Trump lost. Vladimir Putin lost. Milei, Maloney, Netanyahu, plenty of fellow right-wing leaders broke.
all correct analysis from Alistair Campbell. Correct, 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 correct. Although I will say they always throw in Putin. And I've noticed they do this in this country, too, with reform. They always say, oh, well, it's Putin-backed. It's actually the Russians are behind this, when actually the number one force that they are backing or who backs them is Israel. They always do that, and I wonder why they do that. Because, you know, having a look at the posts of Alexander Dugin and various other, you know, Kremlin-aligned voices, they don't seem that much up for the little state. So I wonder how that works in the mind of Campbell. But yet it is nonetheless true that Hungary has been a, broadly speaking, pro-Russian force. So this is the next piece of the jigsaw that we're going to have to try to figure out. What is the true relationship between Russia and Israel? And why is it that you get so many of these populist figures that are both kind of friendly to Russia, but also like very, very friendly to Israel? We want answers, people, and you deserve answers, because this is a democracy, damn it. Isn't that right, Tucker? Yes, I agree. Let's carry on.
That basic rule.
Although it is worth mentioning that if Viktor Orban was the authoritarian that Campbell says he is, how comes he's immediately accepted the result of this election? That's also a question to ask. But anyway, let's not let little details get in the way. The overall picture is that Trump is wrecking the right in Europe and in his own country.
Of not interfering in other countries' elections to say, vote Orban. And they lost too, because in so doing, they put themselves and their politics on the ballot alongside him. And that's why this election is not just about Hungary, which is a landlocked country that could fit inside Indiana, a single American state. It's 7 times smaller than Texas and 180 times smaller than Russia. This episode is brought to you by Fuse Energy.
Energy policy rarely...
Here we go. All right, little ads here. We'll skip past these. But his basic point is correct. And yet again, it is the left who get to own all of this. It is the left, right? It is this, in a nutshell.
Get the hell out of our politics and our country.
Looking like he was ahead of the curve, isn't it? Let's carry on.
About what happens when the politics and policies of far-right nationalism are actually exposed to real challenge and real scrutiny. And it shows they can be beaten. Now, Trump went further than most. He sent Secretary of State Marco Rubio to campaign for Orban. And then the vital final week, he sent Vice President J.D. Vance.
The kiss of death. The kiss of sending Vance. As if that was going to help. Probably actually sealed the deal.
Who seems to have been as effective at driving up the Orban vote as he was at leading the talks in Islamabad to end the war with Iran. That guy is turning out to be quite a loser. On election day...
Absolutely correct, Alistair Campbell. 100% Alistair Campbell. Well done, sir.
Himself, Trump and his family and friends, who like Orban's friends and family, are getting very rich on the back of their guy being in power, posted relentlessly on social media, urging Hungarians to vote Orban to have a direct line to the White House. And guess what? The Hungarians queued from dawn, voted in record numbers.
And correctly so. Well done, Hungary, for rejecting this foreign influence operation, which is ultimately what Reform UK is and Farad represents. Is the attempt of the Americans and the Israelis to do in this country what they did there. I absolutely agree with this analysis.
80% turnout to say, no thank you, Trump. No thank you, Musk. No thank you, Mr. Vance. Take your interference elsewhere. What was it President Zelensky said in our interview that was out earlier this week? I'm not sure sending JD is a good idea for Orban. Well, how right he was. As for Putin, he sent in money to burn and agents galore. Where once the Kremlin enemy to be plastered all over Orban's election posters was...
It's worth asking, why is Putin doing that? Why is Putin doing that, if that's true? I'd love to know. Lots of people who are kind of, broadly speaking, either in Russia or friendly to Russia or kind of sympathetic to Russia, watch this channel. I would love to know from your perspective, why is Putin propping up Orbán while Orbán himself seems to be an American puppet and ultimately an Israeli puppet? Why is Putin doing that? We deserve answers.
George Soros. Now it was President Zelensky and President Ursula von der Leyen. Anyone in Budapest in recent weeks would have thought that they, not Orbán and Magyar, were the candidates. And guess what? It seems a lot of Hungarians seem to think that Ukraine is a country worth backing, Russia is a country worth fighting against, and the EU a body worth being part of and worth supporting. So the money spent on bribing voters has been wasted.
So, maybe it's because Hungary is the bulwark against Russian, against backing of the Ukraine war. I'm just trying to think of the angle. Why are the Americans and the Israelis so against the Ukraine war? Is it possibly because Ukraine takes resources away from Israel? Is that the reason? Think about it.
Wasted. The win that was so big that the Kremlin's planned operation to claim that Magyar had stolen votes. Get this, they were even going to announce the setting up of a democracy protection unit was not even fully activated. As in Moldova, where they launched a similar operation against Maia Sandu, the Russians head home defeated. For now, they'll keep going. So Trump loses, Putin loses, Nigel Farage, Marine Le Pen, Alice Weidel and the FD, they lose because the playbook they thought would see them coast to power.
Correct analysis by Alistair Campbell.
It looks a lot less solid than it once was. Closeness to Trump, fondness for Putin, love of money and using politics to get rich, all now exposed as real handicaps, not assets.
Correct. The corruption is a problem. The corruption in America has been so naked, so in your face. The level of insider trading, okay? I mean, it reminds me of Yeltsin's Russia. And I kind of believe the reports that Orbán was doing the same in Hungary. Why do I believe that? Because if he's a man of such low moral fiber that he would salute Netanyahu, okay, and sell out to Trump, then clearly he's not all he was cracked up to be, Orbán. And I also don't buy this idea that as soon as Orbán is out now, that means that Hungary is over, that they're going to flood it with migrants. That's just not true. Look at Donald Tusk in Poland. He hasn't done that. Look at Carney in Canada. He's reversing. Look at the migratory trends in Canada. Look at Starmer here. Okay, the EU and the globalists as a faction have got wise to this notion that they are the ones being blamed for immigration. So they're reversing it, which is actually the correct thing to do. But I don't buy this idea that this new Hungarian leader is automatically just going to be a disaster. And, you know, now you're going to get the Hungary of the rainbow flag and all the rest of it. These are outdated talking points. Politics has moved on from then. The woke were defeated. So anyway, let's carry on.
And it's about time their opponents understood they are there to be taken apart with greater confidence than thus far shown. What Magyar has shown is that with the right strategy, with confidence and conviction, these people can not just be beaten, they can be thrashed. Now, don't get me wrong, Peter Magyar is a very unlikely hero for anyone on the progressive left of politics. He himself is a former leading light in Orbán's Fidesz party. He's well to the right of some of the European political figures who've been rejoicing at his win. But he matched the strategy to the needs of the time, and he deserves all the plaudits.
You see, to the right of where, I mean, that's because the politics in Hungary are such that you wouldn't be able to run as a kind of neoliberal pro-immigration type. They've got smart to that, though. And frankly, if it's between globalist technocrats devising anti-immigration strategy and corrupt Zionist sloppulists, I'll back the technocrats 10 times out of 10, because they have shown themselves to be more competent when it comes to basic governance. than the opposition. That's just the honest truth of the matter right now.
Coming his way for that. Now, the hard part begins, though the scale of the win means he should be able to undo most of Orban's egregious changes. I hope some of you have listened to the first part of our mini-series on populism, in which we've been talking to Labour MP Liam Byrne about his book on why the populists are winning and how to defeat them. Now, we delayed part two for a week because of the Zelensky interview. That'll be out on Friday. But Magyar's campaign fits with some of the advice that Liam gave in last week's episode. You have to listen to voters, and you do not condemn them because of their different views. You respect the differences, and you try to persuade them to your side.
Do containment better, in other words. But remember, sometimes competent containment is all we can ask for.
Fidesz, for example, thought that they had a monopoly on Hungarian nationalism. Magyar developed a language and a style that spoke to a more inclusive version of it. Like Trump, Orban portrayed his own politics and his own supporters as the country, casting all critics as outsiders. Magyar sought to appeal to Fidesz voters as part of a shared political and national community, and it worked. I often talk, as you know, of the three P's: populism, polarisation, post-truth. Liam Byrne says the populists rely on three A's: appeasement, autocracy, and avarice. Appeasement means making people feel you can't beat them, so you may as well join them. Sit it out. Magyar refused to accept you.
If this is good analysis by Campbell, I'm here for it.
You couldn't win. No to appeasement. No to doing deals. Civil society, despite massive pressures on them, never gave up. And they and Magyar exposed the autocracy and the avarice, not to claim some kind of moral superiority, but to show that the living standards of ordinary people were harmed by the corruption of the ruling elite. And this...
Good. Good. This is what you should be thinking about yourself watching this. Because everything he's saying is true. What I want is sensible and centered government, and we're not getting it from the likes of Trump and Orban anymore. I say anymore, ever. Why? Because they represent the interests of foreign interests and of enriching themselves. That's a problem. No more Fell For It Again awards.
This is where Orban really screwed it up for himself. I talked to Dominic Sandbrook about this on the podcast last week when he stood in for Rory. Pointed out that if you win power by posing as a man of the people fighting a corrupt elite and you become the corrupt elite yourself, don't be too shocked.
Iron law of oligarchy. What do I tell you over and over again? The iron law of oligarchy.
If the people turn against you. Now, Putin could get round that by going full on dictator. Orban, not least because Hungary is in the European Union, more constrained. But the more EU resources seem to be landing in the hands of his inner circle, his best friend, a former gas fitter, becomes the richest man in Hungary, the more Magyar was able to relate the industrial-scale corruption to people's everyday lives. A part of Orban's hubris was that because he developed a near Putin-like grip on the media, he assumed that their 24/7 propaganda on his behalf would work. But real public opinion, much of it, stopped listening ages.
We're seeing a direct parallel with Trump in America here as well. Trump believed that his control of various of the information flow meant that the people would follow him everywhere. But actually, because he betrayed his voter base, this is also happening in America as well. So it will also happen in this country if we ever get a Prime Minister Nigel Farage. Hopefully, touch wood, that doesn't happen. I will vote for anyone to keep Nigel out. Why? Because Nigel's another one of these corrupt sloppulists.
Go. It's why, when I tried to talk him into coming on the podcast when I met him at the Germany-Scotland game in the 2024 Euros, I said to him, you can't spend your whole time just preaching to the converted. You need to be challenged a bit. He was very charming about it, as the film of our chat recorded, but he didn't agree. I have to say, Victor, the offer still stands. I suspect the same hubris made him think that Hungary would be proud that the leader of their little country was so admired by Trump, Putin, and all the rest. But no, it turns out they were ashamed of it. Trump is so narcissistic.
As you should be ashamed of your leaders pledging fealty to that other little country in the Middle East, and even more so, pledging allegiance and fealty to the United States. Remember the anthem that a Britain shall never be a slave. People don't like it. Correctly so.
Get the hell out of our politics and our country.
He cannot see what is plain to most of us, that among all but the true believers, his brand is truly tanking. Anthony Albanese in Australia, Mark Carney in Canada, and Magyar, Trump has helped them all win. Might I suggest, Keir Starmer, that he leans a little harder into the opprobrium Trump keeps sending in his direction?
And he is. Today, Keir Starmer made a speech, as I record this, saying that the Israeli killing of Lebanese and the bombing campaign must stop. Since he's got rid of the snakes in his office, like Morgan McSweeney and Mandelson, who are, we have now discovered, on the Zionist books, the Zionist faction in Labour has been crushed and defeated and discredited by Epstein. Starmer has been able to lean into this stuff more, and his instincts are actually better than the instincts of Nigel Farage and Kemi Badenoch, and I'm afraid to say, as I record this, better than the instincts even of Rupert Lowe. This is a problem for the right, and it's one that I fear we may need a whole election cycle where people like me and people who think like us just say, that's it. If you do any of this sort of stuff, we're voting for we're just going to straightforwardly vote for left-wing parties to teach a historic lesson to the likes of the GOP and Reform UK and Tories, etc., etc., etc. It may have to take that. Because it's become obvious to me that all of these things are a foreign influence operation.
Embrace it. Wear it as a badge of pride. Check out Mark Carney's speech at the weekend. No messing. Check out Pedro Sanchez, the Spanish Prime Minister. Is he backing down in the face of all the threats and the insults? Far from it. The Trump illusion of omnipotence, like the Orban myth of invincibility, is wearing thin. Now, as with Donald Tusk...
Correct. I can't believe how closely I agree with Alistair Campbell, even though I'm coming from a very different place and I have very different priors from Campbell. Everything he's saying is correct.
...who defeated the far right in Poland, so Magyar will now find considerable resistance from the forces Orban has cemented into all aspects of Hungarian life. But the scale of his victory really helps. Orban conceding defeat so quickly, whatever the motivations, was a signal of that. It means Magyar might actually be able to deliver on campaign promises, including systemic institutional change to unlock more than 6 billion euros of EU funding. And the other big winner, thank heavens, is Ukraine. Orban has been doing Putin's bidding for too long. The leaked conversations recently...
But this is a bit more worrying because the Ukraine thing and the Russia thing keeps on going on. You know, just a couple of days ago, there were Russian submarines lurking around in English waters, in British waters. And, you know, there was a story going around that Britain needs to be prepared for full-scale war. And this is in the background. I still, you know, despite everything that we're hearing here, I still think, generally speaking, it is a mistake to fight the Russians at this moment in time. It is, you know, that war was provoked, in my opinion, by NATO and by the Americans. And frankly, the bombing of Nord Stream was a disgraceful episode in European history, sabotaging of European energy security. And I just don't understand why the British establishment and the European establishment are so hell-bent on fighting this war that, frankly, it just cannot win.
recently between Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and his Hungarian counterpart exposed that for all to see. Orban has sought to block and undermine EU support for President Zelensky at every turn. It's now likely, definitely possible, probably probable, that the long-promised 90 billion euros of support will begin to flow. That could be a lifesaver at a time that Russia is benefiting from the oil price rise and Trump's indifference to Ukraine.
I did see, by the way, that Magyar just today announced that that 90 billion is not going to be released, that he's going to maintain Orban's stance on that, on the 90 billion loan.
And frankly, what looks like loathing of Europe. If you haven't listened to the Zelensky interview yet, please do. As he himself admits, no leader is perfect.
All right, I think that's enough of that. Very interesting. Again, obviously, Campbell and the British establishment lean into anti-Russian framing. He didn't really talk about Israeli influence in Orban, which is the biggest influence there in Hungary. I wonder why that is, because Campbell knows quite a lot and he's been very vocal in his criticism of Israel. So I don't know why all the focus is on that, or I do, because they're trying to drum up support for the Ukraine war still. Anyway, that was very interesting. I think it portends to a reformation of the political centre, of the neoliberal centre, of the or even post-liberal technocratic globalist centre, if you want to put it that way. It's a big development, and I think it was worth talking about it. Again, if you hear anything like, oh, well, now it's over for Hungary, Hungary is going to be flooded, Hungary is going to become an Islamic caliphate and all this stuff, rightoid slop of the lowest order, the sort of thing that got Hungary into this mess in the first place. So there it is. If you want to know more about populism, you could pick up my book, The Populist Delusion, which has stood the test of time. I will also mention courses. You can buy the Trivium at the Academic Agency. Buy it now. And have a good weekend, everyone.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.